Part 2. The Messenger. The Teller.
Here is a story that I've heard, that I've overheard, one late winter evening at a country inn. One man telling it to a group of people with whom he shared a table. Flickering oil lamps lit the taproom, one on each of the tables and two or three on the counter. The tables were almost as dirty as was the floor. There were no pillows on the ramshackle chairs and benches. From the stove in the corner came puffs of smoke and too much heat. I had had my share of dubious food and cheap wine, but was not drunk. It would not have been a good idea for a woman on her own to get drunk in such a place. I was tired, but not sleepy. I did not want to think, or rather, there were things I did not want to think about. I had run out of things to read. I tried to ignore the sounds, the snores of those who had gone to sleep on the benches, with their cloaks as blankets if they had them, the heavy breathing, and the loud or muted sounds of pleasure or pain from those who occupied benches but slept not. The drunken laughter and the sudden curses from the tables where cards or dice were played. The occasional shouts for more beer or wine. The pub catered to both tastes. And among all those sounds, I dimly heard the voice of the storyteller. I had missed the beginning of his story, and, with all the noise, I missed much of the rest, and I never heard the end. "Not a good idea for a woman to get drunk in such a place?" she asked. "I understand what you're saying," I replied. "But it's a fact, isn't it? A man risks being attacked when he carries something of value with him, and, clearly enough, in this dump none of them did. A woman invites attack for the ever-present value of her female body. But by stating that her body has a value other than to herself, you dehumanize and objectify her. It's the hallmark of a society that treats women as objects and their bodies as commodities. By accepting this so matter-of-factly, you are in fact reinforcing female subjugation. How do I advocate subjugation by stating that something has value? It's a simple fact. Have gender equality. Have a matriarchal society, there will always be more men wanting to rape women than women wanting to rape men. And don't tell me it's because women are never violent. She'd hardly tell me that. I deserve the look she gave me. But exactly because rape is done by men to women, we have to address the sexualization and objectification of the female body as its cause. Address it. I said. Address gravity when you stumble over a tree root and skin your palms. Or keep an eye on the ground. Gravity! So you recur to a sexual violence as a force of nature position, dismissing culture, politics, everything that constitutes our humanity. No, it's you who dismisses from our humanity all that doesn't agree with you. But the problem is, she said, you have a story we want to hear, don't we? I had another story I wanted to tell first. Another story from a life I hadn't lived yet, but that's beside the point. I got raped once by three men. They were rough, and they took their time. Afterwards, when we all got dressed again, my clothes were torn. But they had to do. One of them asked me a strange question, and I made one of my worst mistakes. "Was this the worst thing that has ever happened to you?" he asked, and I said no, it wasn't even in the top 10. "We can still make it." It wasn't so much the words, it was the way he said it. "And?" she asked. When my silence grew too long. I had to accept the inevitable. I didn't have a choice. Not then, anymore. So they died, she said, stating the obvious. And only when they were dead, I realized that they had been right, that they had heard right. My reply hadn't been as innocent as I had thought I had meant it to be, to diffuse the situation. The disdain, the humiliation, that what drove them to their furor had been there. Focus my mind. I had failed even at the first step of the first path. You still fail, she said. A cold shiver ran down my spine and merged with the hot wave that was spreading from between my thighs. I paled, or maybe I blushed. How could I not have understood that I had meant those words to kill them? Not for raping me. I'd never thought of killing them for that, and this was all I had seen, but for underestimating me. Being underestimated can often be essential for survival, but I had wanted to prove that I did not need it to survive them. Prove it to myself, for you cannot prove anything to the dead. And the success of my proof still echoed in the incongruous arousal that I had just felt when, in fact, I had not proven my strength, but my weakness. Good, she said. So you finally got a lesson out of their deaths. That's the one good thing that deaths are for. We both had our dreams. Her dream, the one she felt obliged to have, was to set right a world. Setting right a troubled girl was a minor task she casually and expertly did along the way. In mine, there was a story that I had to tell.